Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. The University of Tulsa Theater continues its season with one of the classics of American theater, Thornton Wilder's Our Town. Since its premiere in 1938, this play has encapsulated the events of a single life and turned it into a celebration of human life itself, with romance, humor, regret, and affirmation. This quintessential American play, set in a 12-year period just after the turn of the century in fictional Grover's Corner, New Hampshire, with its bare stage, a stage manager who immediately breaks the fourth wall and engages audiences in this human drama, has been performed literally around the world, as well as parodied and imitated. TU Theater performs Our Town tomorrow through Saturday night at 8 o'clock, Sunday afternoon at 2 in Kendall Hall's Chapman Theater. This production also marks a valedictory for longtime University of Tulsa theater professor, director, and actor David Cook, who will retire at the end of the year. He joins us today as director to share his passion about this American theatrical classic. David Cook, welcome back to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Rich.
You're doing one of the quintessential American plays, Thornton Wilder's Our Town, which we recognize its greatness, but I think people, you know, it's been parodied so many times. It's been used as a vehicle for other, whether it's television shows or movies, mm-hmm. over the years, that we kind of forget how great this play is. And we sort of get jaded about it because there's an innocence, there's sort of this purity that, you know, cynical Americans today don't really recognize in Our Town. What can a good production reawaken in a person?
Well, I can say that it happens every time that the play is done. People come back to it and they think, my goodness, I didn't realize, you know. It's very deceptive. It seems to be very sentimental, and certainly there is some sentimentality to it, but it's a long way from being sentimental. We remember it sometimes, or when we were younger, as being too simple, and you're talking about jaded and things like that.
Right, uh-huh.
And, well, this is just a simple play, but it is far, far more than just simple. It is profound. It's profound in every way, the marvelous language in the play, the ideas that Thornton Wilder puts forth on a stage are ideas that built this country, built our lives, gave value to our lives, like we were saying, you know, a while ago, it makes you understand that every moment in life is important.
Mm-hmm. We have to keep in mind when this was written. It's written in the 1930s. And,
written in 37 and first performed in 38, I think.
Already the war clouds were gathering on the horizon.
Yeah.
A time, you know, a depression that had really racked the confidence of Americans, I think, for the most part. People were saying, is this economic system, is this political system working? I think there's a lot of parallels to today when you think of when this play was created. And this, I think really this was an antidote, if you will, to sort of that cynicism and negativity, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, I think so. The storm clouds were gathering everywhere, and It was a time when there were more plays, really, than Our Town, although I think Our Town is the greatest of those plays that were written under the umbrella of sure war.
And there was also it's sort of a genre of celebrating Americanness,
yes,
too.
Yes, that's right.
You know, and that was happening in music. It was happening in every fabric of culture.
That's right. I think right away, for instance, of William Saroyan's The Time of Your Life.
Yeah, no, that's a little later. That's right.
A little
after,
later, a year later, and they knew that things were going to be troubled for some time, and so I think it caused them to reflect on our American lives, and what this country was supposed to be, and and what our lives are supposed to be. Things that are easily forgotten in the crush of things, you know. Wilder was such a, you know, I read these things, and particularly when I say read, I teach, you know, and I teach dramatic lit and what have you. And my students are always saying, well, what, nothing happens in this play, nothing. And there's not even any scenery. There's nothing like that. This play is, they're a little young, really, even in college, I guess. And they're certainly too young in grade school and middle school a lot of times that read this play as an important part of American literature. And it is a very important part of American literature. But I think, you know, as you were mentioning, it's wasted on the young. they just sometimes don't get it. Wilder, for instance, was is frequently accused of being old-fashioned.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's nothing old-fashioned about this play. If anything, Thornton Wilder was a visionary. This man did a play that has no scenery, or he does put a few sticks out there. He says, for those who need scenery.
Right.
He was very influenced, I think, by no drama, the Japanese, great Japanese drama. He just felt that the stage at that time had become cluttered with a lot of scenery, that displaced what you should have in characters and plot and things like that, entertainment values and things of that nature. And he said, I think he, in anticipation of what was going to be a troubled time, that he decided to try to write a play that had a lot of philosophical values. Now, I hesitate to say that, you know, because people think that a play that is philosophical is an egghead's play or something like that. Well, far from it, this play. This play that students say nothing happens is a play that has a major event, and that's life itself, because this play reflects
it's our a life.
Lives.
It's a life in three acts,
it
right?
It certainly is, and it's an amazingly economic story about those three parts of life: our youth, our love and marriage, and death,
mm-hmm.
and how he brings it into such clarity from a stage. I'll guarantee you that it is impossible to direct this play as I'm doing, and I've done it once before, and not in rehearsals every night cry.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not easily moved that way. But I'm telling you, every time Emily steps out in the last part of that play and says goodbye to this world, oh, my God, it is so moving. And you want to go home, and if your parents, if you're lucky enough that your parents are still alive, you want to phone them,
yeah.
and say, hey, let's make a connection again.
You want to hug
right.
the family. Pet yeah, the dog, all right. that sort of stuff. Yeah, no, it's life-affirming.
That's right. We don't see each other. We don't.
You mentioned that sometimes the kids sort of think of this as sort of an old-fashioned play. I think, you know, it was groundbreaking at the time. And I think, is it just the fact that these things that he did in this play have become conventions that people think of it as old-fashioned? Say, you know, the stage manager comes out, breaks the fourth wall immediately.
Exactly.
No scenery of any sort or to speak of, just a bare stage.
Mm-hmm.
The black box theater comes out of
he narrates the whole thing.
Yeah. Do you think that's why maybe they think of it as old-fashioned, and just the fact that it is a young life, early maturity, and
yeah.
then death?
Well, I think that the stage manager is actually very profound, and so it would be difficult to say that they see that type of innocence in what the stage manager has to say. But where they do see it is like they compare, for instance, Thornton Wilder's love affair between Emily and George Gibbs and Emily Webb, who are the two young characters in the play, who in the beginning, as the stage manager says, of their recognition of one another and know that they love one another, and eventually, of course, get married, because as Wilder says, we go through this world two by two. We always have and we always will. And they see Emily and George as kind of one of my students, for instance, says, well, that's corny. And I think, wait a minute here. What is corny about it? I mean, when you fall in love, man, there's nothing corny about it. You know, you've just been knocked to the ground as a rule. And this is kind of what happens to George, who was just interested in baseball until Emily turns his head around a little bit. And I think probably because it takes place in an old-fashioned malt shop,
yeah,
they get strawberry sodas instead of, you know, a beer or a drink or something. In a way, sure, that's old-fashioned, but the words that they say to one another and the recognition that they come to have in the play of their love is, as Tennessee Williams says in Streetcar, awe-inspiring. it's a beautiful moment. And I dare say, just like the stage manager does, he asks the audience, he says, I ask you to think back to the time when you fell in love and you recognized what another step in life is going to be like, and decide on your partner for life. It's difficult to see that as being corny. I mean, I know what they mean, but that has to do with malt shops and what you drink and the way you express yourself, I guess.
The sentiments are timeless.
Yeah.
My guest today is David Cook, a professor of theater at the University of Tulsa, who's directing TU Theater's production of Our Town by Thornton Wilder. Performances take place tomorrow through Saturday night at 8 o'clock in Kendall Hall, Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock, telling the great story of Emily Webb, George Gibbs, the stage manager, and all these wonderful minor characters that sort of come in. And, you know, even from the beginning, you have the professor, the long-winded professor that sort of tells us all about Grover's Corners.
All these are 39 characters of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Plants in the audience, yes, asking questions, yes, of the stage, right, manager. Yeah, it's
all of those were kind of innovative, too, in Wilder's time.
And they've been stolen over,
yes,
and over,
oh,
again.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's the thing you have to remember about this play is it's kind of like I've always said, things like this are like Charlie Parker. When you hear Charlie Parker, you say, oh, I've heard that. You know, when,
sure,
you hear people playing,
yeah,
and you go back and listen to Charlie Parker, you say, oh, well, I've heard that a billion times. But the,
uh-huh,
thing you have to remember, nobody had heard it before he did it,
that's,
you know.
Right.
And I think this is sort of the same with Our Town in many, yeah, ways. A lot of these devices that he used to tell this story had never been done before, or at least not very popularly.
No. In the whole world of art, that's kind of the way art evolves over, you know, centuries and time and what have you. And Thornton Wilder, I think, was one of the great idea people, at least as far as theater is concerned. Not only in theater, a lot of times Wilder is not thought of as a novelist, but he started out as a novelist and Bridge Over St. Louis Ray.
Yeah, St. Louis Ray, yeah.
Won major awards and what have you. And he turned to playwriting later on. And the reason he did, according to Wilder in one of his biographies, he said, I got tired of seeing the same old thing on the stage. He said this, it just didn't move him. And he said it was time to to think about other ways to communicate with an audience and maybe look for a better way to do it. And certainly he did, and I think he probably has proven himself correct in that.
One of the things you talk about, and I want to sort of get into your mind of how you try to portray this to your young actors. You know, this is a play that makes more sense the longer in life you live.
Oh. Right?
Yeah. So how do you get these big themes that are, you know, this is life, across to your young actors in regards to the stage manager, yeah, and George and Emily and the, yeah, main characters?
Well, I think that I'm sure Wilder had the same problems as he was writing this play. But I think once you begin to, like the young people who are in our production of it now, they come to the characters with their own ideas about things, but they really, it doesn't take them much time to join in praise of Thornton Wilder as how alive these people are in the play, and how they express sentiments that maybe in a little different language that these students express it every day as well. Their desires, their hopes, their hope for a better and more compelling life, all of these things come to life with them. And there's a lot of humor in the play, too,
yeah,
as there is, of course, in life. That's what I say. I mean, you can't get away from the fact that when you're watching Our Town, you're watching life as it progresses. It's just been so successful. I mean, this play is done all over the world.
Every day of the
week.
That's
right. Yeah. I don't think there is a time when this play is not being put on stage or being read. I don't think there's a day that goes by that it's not. Now, something is going on when something like that occurs. I tell you, it's hard for me to think of too many works of literature that have that same appeal. And obviously it does, and it crosses cultural lines, too. I mean, this play is done all over the Middle East. It's done all over Europe. It's done in Asia. This play has been translated into almost every dialect, let alone every language.
We think of it as an American play, but it is a human play.
Well, it is. It is an American play, and it's about Grover's Corners, New Hampshire, in the book. But this is any American city. In a town, I should say. Grover's Corner is a place of, let's see, I think the stage manager says it's 3,000 something.
Mm-hmm. The coordinates are actually off the coast of Rockport, Maine.
That's right.
They give the coordinates and it's right, actually in the ocean.
And Grover's Corners is so typically American in every way that I think students catch on to it pretty quick. And I know that we've had a wonderful time. And we've been in rehearsal for 4 weeks. They've been ready for an audience, really, for the last week, probably. This is a play that you slip on easily. And I don't mean easy in terms of making a compelling character, but there's something so lifelike with these people that they've had every time I've been around this play, the actors have had a warm experience with it. They look forward to rehearsing, to coming to her rehearsal at night. They don't see it as work. They see it and they can't wait until an audience gets there, because they know that the audience is going to love it.
Yeah. When we think of the play, we think of the role of the stage manager. Yes. You know, this is supposedly the starring role. And in many cases, it, you know, has the incredible monologue at the beginning of the third act where he reflects on mortality. Yes. But I really think Emily Webb is the great role. I think it's if it's not if it's not the stage manager, it's got to be her role. It's, you know, just the fears, the, you know, the trepidations, the realizations that she goes through. Yes. It's a tour de force role too, it isn't it?
And she is so quintessential woman, girl turned woman.
Yeah.
I can tell you this, that I've auditioned actors for, this is the third production, and I've never seen a play where the young girls who audition for the role of Emily are not willing to cut the throat of every other girl who's in there trying to get this role too. No, it's one of those roles like Blanche and Streetcar that is the one you want to play. And the thing is, too, that it's their age. Because Emily goes through, you know, youth.
And, 12 years, and about college age
right.
Act Two, and then a little older in Act Three, she's done.
Yeah. And it's, you're right, though, she is one of the linchpins of the play. And very hard to replace those words that she says at the end of the play.
Yeah.
If she was ever a little girl in the play, believe me, she's beautifully full-grown by the end of the play, which is another thing I think that's appealing to actresses in playing the role.
My guest today is David Cook. He is directing a University of Tulsa Theater's production of Our Town by Thornton Wilder this weekend, Thursday through Saturday at 8, Sunday afternoon at 2 at Kendall Hall's Chapman Theater. I've got to ask you this, you know, this is going to be your last production here at the University of Tulsa, at least.
You read my mind, Rich.
and I can see where I'm going to do this play.
That's
this
right.
is a great valedictory.
Well, I had my choice of any play that I wanted to do, and this was it for me. I think it's a great way to go out. I think it's a great one to, if you're going to have a swan song, this is it, because it reflects so much of what I, the reason I do what I do, which is teaching. Stanislavski once said that actors need to understand that the first time that they read a play is the most important time that they will have with that play. He called it first impressions. And he says first impressions are the strongest impressions. And the amazing thing about them is that you can never relive that. This is your first time, and it's the only time that you will perceive of having understanding of something for the first time. And I think that this play reflects a lot of that. And when you teach, as I do, I love to put this play in, you know, because I know that it's going to create a certain amount of, as you say with the students, you know, it's a little bit of jadedness.
A little blowback, if you will.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh. And it's gives me an opportunity to have another first chance. It really does. If you can't read for the first time or perform for the first time, you can teach. and that is a wonderful second opportunity to make a point to students. And, oh, my God.
So after teaching it for 34 years, It's still
35 at TU.
35 here. It still gives you a charge every time you go through it. Yes. Go through the play.
Oh yeah. I knew it would be a wonderful way to end it up here, because I love it so much. And the reason I do is because it has so much to say to people, and so much that we can. I like on the poster. I put. They asked me what I thought about our town, so they could print it on the first play. And this is on the first, just on the poster. You just have the one picture. And so I said, our town is so many things. It is the mirror held up to our American nature. It is the staged picture of what we were and hope to be. It is the spiritual reminder of what is important in our lives. It is, in Wilder's words, an attempt to find a value above all price for the smallest events in our daily life. And finally, it is, arguably, I suppose, our greatest play. And I don't doubt that for one minute.
No. I encourage you to break a leg.
And it's going to be our greatest play. While we're here, Rich, it will still be done every day of every year of every. Somebody's going to be reading it. Somebody's going to be performing it on stage. And it's to remind us of what is important in our lives, and particularly in our relationships with our parents and with our wives and husbands, and these passages that we go through in life, what makes it meaningful, and what happens when we've missed it. Emily's missed all that, and others didn't quite see it, you know.
And that's the tragedy about it.
They find out. Yeah. Yes. The older you get, as you say. Right.
Well, break a leg this weekend. That's all I can say.
Thanks a million,
David
Rich.
Cook, thanks very much for joining us.
I'm going to enjoy it.
University of Tulsa Professor of Theater David Cook speaking with us here on Studio Tulsa. He's directing TU Theater's production of Our Town by Thornton Wilder. Performances take place tomorrow through Saturday at 8 o'clock, Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock at Kendall Hall's Chapman Theater. Call 918-631-2567 for ticket information. You're listening to Studio Tulsa. Our show is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. If you miss one of our recent shows, they're available online at publicradiotulsa.org. You can listen on demand. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.